Moncrief on News Talk.
Ireland has one of the highest stillborn rates in Europe, 4 per 1,000 births, compared to an average of 0.8. It's still a relatively small figure, but that's little comfort to families that experience this devastating loss. Mary Cregan has personal experience of this and is also a member of the stillbirth and neonatal death charity Felacon. Good afternoon to you, Mary.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. When you experienced it, and as I understand, your first child died the day before they were due to be born.
Yeah, it was my seventh, actually.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
A very big surprise. I was 45.
Yeah.
And she died the day before she was due, which was absolutely shocking. But I think the age I was helped me to put it in context that this really is very, very shocking. That I think if I was younger, I might have listened to what I was being told, which is, you know, go home now, forget about her, move on. And that's the best thing, you know, don't, you have other children, care for them and all the things that people try to help you. They're trying to, you know, make the situation better, but that's not the way. And yeah. I think it, because of the age I was then, some of my friends, we formed Felacon because we realised this is a very, very significant loss. And in fact, it reverberates down through the years. At the time, I was working in the psychiatric services, mental health services as a social worker. And I started to pick up where people were being, you know, treated for mental health issues. They were actually grieving and traumatized because they'd never been able to talk about pregnancy loss and situations like that. You know, their babies had died and they didn't even know where they were buried. And then I think because of that, we just realized, look, you're going to need an organization that will bring some understanding to how significant this is, how heartbreaking.
And the people who, as you said, there didn't even know where their children are buried. What happened in those cases, or what tends to happen in those cases?
From what we can see is that, you know, the babies that would have been lost during the 60s and 70s, which would have been some of the women I'd have worked with earlier on in Felacon, were taken to be buried in Killeeny. Usually they were at the outlying place of a parish, but it was on consecrated ground and they had to be buried at between sun down and sun up. Horrific, really. And the fathers would often be told to take the child away and that the mother would not have been able to see the baby. And we have one story of a father that I worked with, and he opened the coffin. He said he had to see his child. And you know, that should have been done in a supported way, as it is now, that you meet your child and you care for your child and you parent your child at the time, because you're still a parent and the child is still your son or daughter. And that needs to be recognised. There was huge religious issues from all the churches, and that women then didn't know where their babies were. The fathers tried to protect them, thinking the best thing is that they didn't know and that the baby wasn't spoken about. We find that as people move on in age, you know, you start looking back in your life and making sense of it, that if they, you know, had a diagnosis maybe of life-limiting illness, they wanted to know then before they died themselves, where was their baby? So we've done a lot of work of finding graves, and if they are in an angel's plot or a Killeen, that they can at least put their baby's name on their own gravestone. You know, if they've lost their husband maybe, or if the wife has died and the husband comes looking for the baby, that they can put the baby's name on the headstone. And it's just huge to them. Felacon also gives every family a hand made candle with their baby's name on it, and one, you know, we'd send it to the parents of a lot of the time, say, you know, baby Mary Cregan or whatever, and they said sometimes that that's the first time they've seen their baby's name anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's just huge. Like, so if it's, this is affecting them 50, 60 years down the road, it's a big deal.
Yeah, indeed. And now obviously what I'm getting from what you're saying is that historically and maybe even today, is it the case that people don't tend to treat a stillbirth mentally, it's not in the same category as the death of a child, though of course it is.
Yeah, it's not seen as real. And it's, I would have been one of those people too, until it happened to me, that you realise that actually the child is in your head a lot more than maybe your life children, because you're always wondering. And, you know, people think that, oh, she'd be upset around babies. But as time goes on, for me, like, it's 20-year-olds. I'm looking at 20-year-old people now and thinking, oh, would she be doing that? But not all the time. You move on, you move through with it. But they're with you. They're beside you all the time in a different way than your other children. There's always the wondering. And for myself, I speak for myself here, that there was the guilt that I didn't jump up and down enough, because I knew she wasn't feeling, you know, I knew she wasn't moving right. And I thought, look, you know, I believed what they told me. They sent me home, and they told me to rest, and then someone else told me to drink water and cold water and wake her up and that kind of thing. But as one of our volunteers in Felicon says, if I threw cold water on you, you'd wake up too, you know. That doesn't mean they're well. And what we find is that people don't understand that changed fetal movement is an indication that the baby may not be doing well. And if our you know, professionals don't know that, then how can mothers know it? Mothers, we're saying you should educate us in being able to care for ourselves and our baby towards the end of pregnancy, because it's not a mother's fault. Even though as mothers, especially Irish mothers, we seem to take on that, you know, that guilt. I did anyway, until I got to where I just had to let it go.
Yeah. And so apart from, you know, if there's a sudden, the baby's gone very quiet, that's a warning. Are there a number of warning signs that perhaps, you know, should be taught to expect at mothers?
That's the one that I would, it was huge for us, you know, and that's the one that takes you in. If you're feeling any way unwell, then you have to call the people that are supposed to know and to care about you. You know, you'll know yourself, but that is the big one. If changed fetal movement is a huge one. If, you know, your blood pressure is going up or going down, any of these warning signs, if you're not feeling great, then it could be, you might just have the flu, but you might not. And most of the time it's okay. But for those of us that it wasn't, we'd have given anything to have had this information.
This is not based on anything scientific, but I over the years I've known one or two people who have experienced stillbirth, and they always knew something was wrong.
Yeah, it's a thing that comes up all the time at our meetings, and I just knew I would never have that baby for some reason towards the end. But you can't measure this scientifically, a prospective piece of research is probably it's the ethics of that, like, are very questionable. But I think there's very few mothers that I've met that didn't know that there was something. But there are a few then that the shock is absolutely horrendous, that they go in and it's only on the day they know there's something wrong, and that they're not listened to, you know, they're told to wait. And by the time they do get upstairs to or downstairs to the labour ward, that it's too late and the emergency section mightn't rescue their child either. So it's like, what we're hoping to do is prevent all of this happening. And we have a plan that we're hoping that the government will buy into, and, you know, involving education of the general public about this. Because, like, we do use the analogy of road deaths, because we all use the road. So we're all aware of the powerful messages that the RSA have. But not many of us are going to be affected by, far too many are. But, you know, in the same way are we going to be affected by child death, by infant perinatal death. So we're saying that if people in general knew about it, it will filter through to those who are affected. And also, it'll help the general public, our communities, our workmates, to be more sensitive about how they speak about the baby, or the fact that they will speak about the baby, that they will acknowledge that a child has died. You know, we try to protect people and we don't mention their child. And someone said, look, you know, she started crying. I said, look, it might bring a tear to her eye, but it'll also bring a song to her heart that somebody has remembered her child, you know.
At the moment, if a baby dies before 23 weeks, they aren't registered as a stillbirth, but given the improvements in neonatal care at the moment, babies can live at 22 weeks or 21 weeks. So perhaps, is there an argument for changing the rules on that?
I think there is, and they are being changed. I think there's another drive on that from obstetricians and gynecologists, that the youngest baby to live, I believe, I'm open to correction here, was 22 weeks. And but if a baby is born and survives, of course, they'll get the care if they're going to survive. I can't speak as a medic, obviously, but if they show any signs of life at all, they will get a birth and a death cert, which is huge to their parents. But if they're below the 400 grams and below the 23 weeks, then they're classed as a miscarriage. And we know miscarriage is horrendous for women as well, but a miscarriage that's on the cusp of a stillbirth is even more upsetting.
Yeah.
You know, the child's big enough for a coffin, big enough for a funeral, but not big enough to be registered.
If a woman experiences a stillbirth in Ireland right now, are there dedicated midwives or nurses who have been specially trained in this area?
17 of the hospitals of the 19 units, there is a dedicated service and dedicated midwife. What we're fighting for now is that they will be, that that's their full job, that they're not pulled off to theatre or other, you know, other parts of the hospital as well. But there's two hospitals that they're not filled in at the moment. So like that needs to be done as a matter of urgency. The bereavement midwives then work from 9 to 5, or well, I've often met them when I'm going to the take in prints for the babies. I often meet them a lot later. So they're like, a lot of our medical professions, the professionals, they stay late, but they're supposed to be only 9 to 5. And look, a lot of babies die outside of hours. They die and things can go wrong on a bank holiday weekend. We know all of this. So we want to, you know, we want a service that's there, that's 7 days, maybe not 24/7, but at least 7 days that's there for somebody who's who's been told that their baby isn't going to survive or their baby has died. And this would be true for miscarriage as well. You know how many women are told to go home, but they're not given the support about what will happen when I go home. How is this going to happen? You know, am I going to be in pain? Am I going to be, is there danger that I'm going to have a hemorrhage? Like, we need to up our game and all of this and protect women. It's hugely traumatizing. You know, if it's your first baby, especially, hugely traumatizing, and we can do better. And a lot of the strategy that we went to the Dáil for last week, the strategy in itself isn't the worst document at all, but it needs to be implemented and implemented fully. And the next strategy, which is starting now this year, I hope, needs to have something about bereavement in it. Bereavement is practically absent from the last strategy, whereas we know, according to the HSE and the government, there's 14,000 miscarriages every year. We don't know how many they are. That's based on the demographic. You know, that they are, it's a guess, really. We don't know how many miscarriages are there. And so how can we target our support for the women and their partners? I can imagine what it's like to actually watch somebody. And well, I had to watch my own daughter when her baby died, and a neonatal death. And I know, like, it's just horrendous experience to have to watch someone suffering this way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Can I read out a few comments to you though, Mary? One person got in touch to say, Féile Cáin helped me and my family after our loss. Their memory box made such a difference. Others simply didn't know what to say or do, which I understand, but it adds to the heartbreak. Paul says, we spent the whole night with our stillborn baby, Nicole, which was a great way to come to terms with our loss and to say goodbye. Thanks to the nurses, Our Lady of Lourdes. Another texter says, when I lost my son late in pregnancy, I struggled with how people wouldn't talk to me about it or mention him. Lots of platitudes on the next baby I had, which was hard to take too.
Yeah. It's like any time we go in public talking about this, what we hear from people is the upset them and how others treated them, others who care about them, I would imagine, and, you know, really want to help them, but instead think that the old way, that we mustn't talk about this, we'll upset them. That is not true. The research is out there. We want to talk about our children. Yes, we might get upset, especially in the early days. And, you know, when you, the likes of me now, way down the road, you've come to terms with most of it. And you know, I never wonder why, like, I'd always think if I jumped up and down a bit more she'd be here, but she's not, and I've had to live with it. But for at the early days, you cry very, very easily. And I mean, I lost my mother when I was a young woman, I lost my sister, and I coped with that and people talking to me much better. But they spoke to me about them. They, you know, it was awful about what happened, Mary, but nobody spoke to me about Liliana, only my own friends and a few colleagues. Like, people would cross the road to avoid me, and, you know, if anybody was pregnant, you could see the whisperings around the, you know, the community, don't tell her anyway that someone's pregnant, you know, that she'll get upset. But you know, sometimes you might be a bit envious. I was a little bit, you know, why did this happen to me? But it's you know, that's the way it goes. If people would just acknowledge it to their family, their daughters-in-law, their aunts, that this happens, I think it would really help.
Yeah, Mary, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Mary Cregan there of Féile Cáin. Just another couple of comments before we go. One texter says, I had a miscarriage at 11 weeks in the corridor of one of Dublin's maternity hospital. There was no care or compassion. And someone else says, people were so supportive to me when we had our stillborn baby, Chloe, but my husband said nobody mentioned or brought it up with him in work among his friends. People can forget about the dads. Well, indeed, but as I'm sure you were glad to hear that Marie mentioned the dads as well.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.